Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We've spoke about body language a little bit earlier, and I thought that was very interesting. But what was also fascinating, looking at body language, is following Naledi Pandor's language, both body language and written language. She spends a lot of time trying to convince us that she's not an anti-Semite. Well, is she or isn't she? Benji Shulman, Director of Public Policy at the South African Zionist Federation. Good morning. How are you doing today?
Hi, Howard. How are you doing?
I am very, very well, thank you. So it's normally a sign of concern when somebody needs to tell you that they're not an anti-Semite, isn't it?
Well, it's very interesting how, you know, people like to say, oh, well, you know, they get accused of anti-Semitism and all these sorts of things. But the truth is the communal bodies take calling someone an anti-Semite very seriously. You don't do that unless you, A, can prove it, and B, it warrants that sort of accusation. So we don't spend a lot of time, this is not Twitter or Facebook, when we put out official statements calling people anti-Semites. And the fact that normally when someone is bringing it up before the accusation has been made, it's because they're feeling a little bit nervous about the kind of things that they're saying.
Okay, so she is feeling nervous about what she's saying, but nothing is a once-off, isn't it? Can we just take a look at a little bit of the history of Naledi Pandor and some of her past focus and utterings, maybe to get some context?
Look, I think if you're going to talk about the context, Howard, you need to look at a few things. The first is that there's been a shift in the international geopolitics, and she mentioned this in her speech. Traditional allies of the Palestinians and the Arab world have been normalizing relations with Israel, and I think that that's concerning to the Palestinians. And in addition, and I think the context in this particular case, and she also mentioned it, is that Israel was recently, within the last 2 years, given observer status into the African Union. And that has been, for a very long time, a stalwart sort of defender of Palestinian rights, and it seems to have given both the Palestinians and, more importantly, the South Africans real cause for concern that sort of in their backyard, Israel is able to chalk up these diplomatic wins. And the conference where Pandor was speaking was a head of missions conference of Palestinian ambassadors from 25 African countries, and it was sort of a conference to shore up support for the Palestinian agenda on the African continent. I think what we're seeing here is a lot of paranoid talk from the ANC in particular. This is their big ideological issue, the Palestinian issue. And they've also come under a lot of pressure on Ukraine because of their sort of not really decisive leadership on that issue. And I think they see this as a way that they can box themselves out of a corner that they put themselves in.
But by alienating themselves more, which is in fact what they're doing, because they're moving completely against a global trend. The global trend is to make peace with Israel, to try and encourage movement in a positive direction through positivity, whereas South Africa is going back to all sorts of strange behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're seeing this in the ANC all over the place, right? On all sorts of, on land issues, on all sorts of issues, even domestically, is that as it's running out of ideas, it's sort of going back to things that it's done before. And you're absolutely right. What's interesting about the speech is that Pandor's speech, if you listen to the whole thing, is all about how, well, you know, we need to look engagement and peace and side by side and two-state solution. But her actions are all about how do we alienate people and get in the wrong side of things and not be a positive force for change. So it is a very dichotomous kind of way in which they're dealing with the issue.
So what does this mean practically? Because we've often, and I sometimes find it confusing, I don't know what's the ANC, I don't know what Durko is, and I don't know what South African government policy is. We've got these three pillars or these three areas that seem to speak for each other but aren't able to.
Yeah, so I think it's an interesting question also in the context of the next 6 months, Howard, because we have the ANC policy conference and its leadership conference in the next 6 months, and in fact the policy conference starts today. So some of the ANC policy, which itself is highly contradictory on the Israel issue, will be up for debate. And that sort of does inform some of the government positions and the state of the embassy, for example, whether we're going to have an ambassador back in Israel or not. So all of these things are up for debate. You know, the sense is that South Africa still has to follow international norms in terms of what the international community thinks about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And that still is that, you know, Israel has a right to exist, that there has to be a solution to the problem between the Israelis and the Palestinians. But because there's a kind of ANC agenda here, what you'll find, I believe, is very, very fiery rhetoric, and they can do everything that they want within that framework to be on the side of the Palestinians, but still sort of at the end of the day have to stick with the international consensus. We don't have a situation like you might say, for example, in Venezuela, where they've cut ties or there's boycotts or sanctions. You sort of get an extremity of diplomatic activity, but within the framework that they're sort of forced to operate in. That would be my view.
What's interesting to me is the South Africa's got a very, very relaxed view when it comes to democracy in places like Cuba and Iran. Now, if we raise it with them, they say, that's a technique of whataboutism. But it's relevant. It is relevant to say, why have you picked on Israel, who is a democracy, who has freedom of speech, and who allows all of these things that we define as important in a democratic state, but you seem to turn a blind eye to Iran, to Cuba, and in fact have done so in Zimbabwe, our very own neighbors, for years and years. Have they ever responded to that?
And I think that it's actually whataboutism on their side. I think the ANC policy, you know, Tony Leon once said that the ANC has never found a dictator that it doesn't like. And I think that that's very much how our foreign policy is focused when it comes to particularly the ANC and who we regard as our friends. And I think that the critique of how the government manages its relationship with Israel is actually the ultimate critique of our foreign policy, in that we have a democratic constitution at home, but when we're looking abroad to export the constitution and its values, then suddenly we're not so keen. And the kind of people who we have that are friends are all of these authoritarian and dictatorial regimes. And Israel stands out and says, well, actually, between Johannesburg and Jerusalem, the only place really sort of on the continent and certainly in the region of the Middle East that would share the same values as our constitution is Israel. And I think that sort of shows up the government's and the ANC's particular foreign policy bias. And I think they do feel it, and I think that they don't like the criticism, which is why often they do ramp up on it anyway.
Is there a form of state capture, in inverted commas, when it comes to the Palestinian issue within the ANC, in your view?
I think that some very extreme voices have very much been in control of the conversation when it comes to this sort of issue. I think that there was a time when South Africa was more engaged, and certainly some of the factions that have captured ANC policy on a number of issues, this is one of those that sort of hasn't quite resolved itself, and we've seen this on a number of things. So I think that the extremists inside the ANC certainly do have control of this situation, and it doesn't, not a reflection of the South African politic. You know, there was some good polling data that was done only a couple of years ago that said that only 4% of South Africans had ever heard of an anti-Israel organization.
Right.
So
right.
It's not broadly reflective of a South African
narrative.
Narrative.
Yeah, and in fact, it's something that I've noticed very often is when I write for a News 24, for example, on an Israel issue, quite honestly, no one cares. So we think we care. We think because it's something that we care about, and the anti-Israel lobby care about. But the reality is, all South Africans want is to have employment and to be able to switch their lights on. It is 8:22. I do need to leave it there. Benji Shulman, director of a public policy at the South African Zionist Federation.